Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Gospel reading from John 16. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, you know, the sufferings of this present age, they simply do not compare to the glory that will be revealed. This is the pattern of the cross and the resurrection as the church lives in the world. It's the pattern of every baptized believer in Christ. Present sufferings, future glory, just like Jesus, suffering, glory. As Jesus then in the text looks deeply into the faces of his disciples, on the night when he was betrayed, he sees uncertainty and fear and doubt and sadness. Jesus has been preaching his impending Good Friday death and his third day resurrection. That's why he says these words, "A little while and you will see me no longer." Yes, that's right, because the stone of his tomb will be sealed and he would be seen no more. And the world would what? The world would rejoice as the disciples weep. Yes, the disciples would be sorrowful, but their sorrow would be turned into joy because Jesus also says these words, "Again, in a little while, you will see me." He's talking about seeing him after his resurrection. And they did see him bodily risen from the dead. Good Friday anguish turned into Easter morning joy with the news he's risen. All the darkness and the death of Good Friday was swallowed up in the joy of life and light. Jesus is alive. He's truly risen from the dead. Now, you may wonder, why in the world then didn't Jesus just simply tell the disciples plainly these things? He did. Over and over and over again. Three times, to be precise, in the Gospels. When he said, "I'm going to die, and on the third day I will rise." Well, as I said, three times he said that to his apostles. And here in John 16, he just simply says it another way. A way that we too can hear for ourselves and so that we too can take it to heart. The words of our Lord Jesus mean as much to us as to the disciples in the upper room in John 16, when Jesus says, "In a little while, you will not see me, and then again, in a little while, you will see me." All right? Can you see Jesus now? I can't. Why not? It's because he's been glorified to the right hand of his Father with his ascension. And yet, according to Matthew 28:20, he promises, "Lo, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." So he's very here. He's bodily present. He still dwells among us in the word that he speaks to us through. He is physically and presently active in his word and baptism and the supper. He can be heard through the preaching of the office of the ministry. The Holy Spirit is sent as he glorifies Jesus by delivering our Lord's Good Friday forgiveness, life, and salvation into our ears. It's just simply we don't see him now. After the ascension, we simply listen. We don't see. That's the now. But on the last day, yes, on the last day, when Jesus returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, we will see him again. Until then, our Lord's words call for faith among us all. What you can't see now, you have to simply believe, trust. So now we must take Jesus at his word. Just as the disciples were caught between the now of not seeing and the not yet of seeing, that is to say, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, so we too find ourselves caught between the not seeing of Ascension Day and the seeing of Resurrection Day. Those in-between days are the last days. Those are the end times. So we live in the time between the old and the new creation. The old order of things, it's passing away. We sense it all around us in the breakdown of everything, from the environment to social structures and even our own bodies. As Dr. Martin Luther expanded on the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism, he described this life in this world as a, do you remember? As a veil of tears, a valley of sorrow. Psalm 23 calls it the valley of the shadow of death. This is a piece of reality we need to understand and we need to take this to heart. There may be joy in this life, but it's short-lived, it's fleeting. It quickly evaporates and it can turn into bitterness. There may be peace in this life, but it's always a tenuous peace. There may be laughter in this life, but it's a laughter that quickly can turn into sorrow and weeping. Yeah, we weep over what? Our sin, our sinful condition, what sin has done to the world in which we live. We weep over our broken relationships, our broken families, and our broken lives. We weep over the condition of the church, over the struggling congregations in the church, over the seeming loss of vitality that once seemed to invigorate the church. We weep over the loss of our loved ones, and we say farewell to them in this life and stand at their graves, not seeing, but believing. Whenever there is not seeing, there will be sorrow and yearning. All you have to do is think about being separated from someone you love for a long time. You long to see them. Hearing is fine. Texts and Zoom calls are nice. But you long to see them in person, in the flesh. The families of deployed soldiers know this. All you have to do is look at the joy of their reunions when they get to see dad or mom again after a long time of being apart. It's on the news, you know, they do it all the time. So Jesus compared the now of not seeing him and the not yet to seeing him on the last day to the difference between, did you catch it in the text, labor pains of delivery and the joy that a child has been born into the world. The pains of childbirth are great. They are in many ways a death. In some cases, mothers still die in childbirth, and yet in the end, all the pain and sorrow and tears give way to joy. Jesus put it this way, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now I know what all you mothers are thinking. You're thinking, only a man can possibly say something like that. Right? After all, you mothers, you don't forget the what? The pain. But the pain of delivery is brought into a new context of life. And that's what makes the difference. Present suffering has its context in future joy and glory. The pain and the tears of this life have their meaning and they have their purpose in the resurrection of the body, in the dawning age, when we will once again see everything with resurrected clarity. Jesus says, you will have sorrow now. And that happened when, for them? When he spoke the words on the eve of his death on the cross. Yes, when he would die on the cross, they would sorrow very deeply, immensely. And he says these words to you today as well. You too will have sorrow now. Sometimes it will be intense. But it is woven into a greater and more beautiful tapestry than you can ever imagine. Jesus makes this magnificent promise to all of you today. I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. This is what awaits all of us, brothers and sisters, and all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you will see him on the day of his glorious reappearing, the last day of the old creation, which then will be the first and only day of the new. You, on the last day, will see him whom you do not see now, and you will rejoice with unending joy. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. You remember that the Bible begins in Genesis with what? God creating the heavens and the earth. The story of our humanity begins in a what? In a garden with two people, Adam and Eve. But the Bible ends not with a return to the garden, but with a what? A city that God is building, a city that comes down from above, where the dwelling of God is with humanity. That is saying something very important, brothers and sisters. History, the world's history, humanity's history, your personal history, for all of its sorrows and wrongs and brokenness and sin, is not erased. It is redeemed. I'm going to repeat that. It is not erased. It is redeemed. God does not annihilate this creation into non-existence. Instead, he brings it through death and then raises it up. Death, resurrection. That's how Jesus makes all things new. He takes all things into his own mortal flesh, and he then dies and rises. He takes this old creation that is passing away, and he lets it die, and then he raises it up again. He takes all the flotsam and jetsam of history, including your own personal history, and he washes it in his Good Friday blood, and he redeems it with his death. And he will raise it up again for eternal good in the resurrection on the last day. This means that nothing of your life is ever what? It's never lost. Instead, it's, listen carefully, it's redeemed. And it is held for you in a complete and new way in Jesus. The mother doesn't forget her what? Her labor pains. But instead they are woven into the lovely and wonderful tapestry that is her child. Our present sufferings then do not compare with the glory that will be revealed to us. In the light of Jesus and his death and resurrection, it all will make sense. It will all fit back together again, and the vision will be truly glorious. Jesus again says, you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. I can't wait, and neither can you. What joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.